Good morning, everybody. You all right? Hello. I'm Ryan, the curate, and this is my first Connect service where I get to be up here and not back there. So if anything goes wrong, it's Jono's fault. Okay, brilliant. Well, welcome. It's so good to be with you this morning in our Connect service. And it's a little bit different than over there, but it is still a place where we gather and worship and hear the word. And so it's lovely to be able to do that in this environment. A couple of things I want to make you aware of for the week in terms of our announcements, and will be on the screen as well. So Tuesday morning, the crafters have been meeting at Hillmount, but they're not this week. They're going to be here in this room. And they're going to be making some bunting for our community fun day, as well as having some coffee and doing some stuff with the storeroom. So if you go to the crafters and you go to Hillmount, you will be alone. You should come here for 10:30. And on that note, this morning after the service, just leave your chair where it is rather than stacking and putting them away, because we're going to get set up for crafters. So you don't need to worry about your chair. So after service, leave it where it is. Thursday we'll have Zoom prayers as normal, and then on Sunday for next week's services our Holy Communion at 9, Holy Communion at 11, and Compline at 7 p.m. Just also want to make you aware, we've been talking a lot about the Community Fun Day, and we've met and talked more about it, and I'm excited about all the things that we're going to be doing, but that means there's a lot of things that need done. And what a wonderful thing to think about, even this morning, as we're looking at this encounter with Jesus and Mary and Martha and getting things done and where our heart is in doing that. And so that Community Fund Day is going to need your help. And so you can check in with Trevor in the back about signing up to volunteer in various roles. But that's going to be the 6th of September, and it will come very quickly. I promise. It'll be here before you know it. Okay, so those are the things that we've got in terms of notices, and if I've forgotten something, you can tell me about it afterwards, and I'll remember for next time. Okay, well, I'd like for us to still our hearts for just a minute before we begin, and then we're going to pray our opening prayer together as we begin our service. And so we pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. Amen. Well, I'll ask you to stand with me as we sing our first song together. Come, now is the time to worship.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Come to that time in our service where we say sorry for the things that we have done in our thoughts, our words, our deeds. We say as individual people, but we also say it as a body. And so we're going to say sorry to God together as we pray, God of everlasting love. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing our second song, Come People of the Risen King. Seated. Hannah's going to come and read our Bible reading.
This reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
We're going to respond to our reading as we stand together to affirm our faith, saying together this version of the Creed. So let us declare our faith in God. We believe. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we remain standing as we sing our third hymn, Spirit of the Living God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would be with the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, and that these words would be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have to start by saying that this is a very low podium, so I'm gonna hold this up here, because I put this down here, and no matter how big I write, I can't see it. So you'll have to bear with me as I hold in my hands and flail and talk as we go. We're over the last year in Connect, we've been having these discussions and talks about encounters with Jesus, and you've had several, and I've been tasked with looking at this lovely story of Mary and Martha. And the first thing I thought about when thinking about this particular encounter or this story is how maybe sometimes we might read it wrong. And so this morning we're going to be looking at this story, but I want to look at it through sort of the lens of one of the things that we do every week when we say our confession. And we didn't say the version of that confession this morning, but when you come to the other worship services, there's this part in the confession where we ask for forgiveness in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. The things we've done, the things we've left undone, the things we've said, the things we've left unsaid. And this particular story in Luke's Gospel gives us a picture of what thought, word, and deed actually looks like, and how Jesus encounters it with Mary and Martha. So that's where we're going to go. But I got to start with Christmas dinner. Christmas dinner, right? You love a good Christmas dinner. I know I love it, but what's funny is my Christmas dinner is different than yours, right? Because you guys do the turkey and the stuffing and all the things and the ham. That's my Thanksgiving dinner. So I don't want to eat it a second time. I have spaghetti and meatballs. And you guys, you're weirdo. Properly. Your Christmas dinner is spaghetti and meatballs. And it is fabulous. But one of the things about Christmas dinner is when you do a party and you put together a party like Christmas dinner, you know there's a lot of work involved, isn't there? How many of you have hosted Christmas dinner before? Yeah? Yeah. You know how much work goes into hosting Christmas dinner, right? First, it's the list of all the things you've got to get. Then you go to the shop and you wrestle with everybody else in their carts. Road rage is bad on the dual carriageway, but you go to Tesco at Christmas time, it's real bad, right? You've got to wrestle through all of that. And then there's the preparations, the baking, the cooking. Got to clean the house. Don't want anybody thinking I live in a tip. So we got to get the house clean. Everyone's got their jobs. You get to the day, you're cooking, you're frantic, you're running, you're frazzled. You serve the food. People eat the food. And then you have a bit of fun and people are gone. And then the end of the day comes and you're going like, I didn't really experience that at all, actually. Now, some of you in here are going like, man, I love Christmas dinner because I never have to help, right? Well, some of you in here are going, I love Christmas dinner because it's a chance for me to serve my family and serve my friends. That's the background that I want you to maybe think about as we head into this text. Because it's important, right? Christmas dinner is like the most important gathering meal on your calendar with your family and your friends and your loved ones, and the point of doing it, welcoming Christ, right? And yes, it can be that one thing that causes a lot of stress. And how many of you who have had that Christmas dinner and hosted that party at one point during the day thought to yourself, I wish he would help me. I wish she would help me. Why are the kids on the couch? Come do the dishes, right? You've had that thought of frustration, of anger. That's what we're going to encounter in this text. And what I want to do is I want to look at it in those three areas: thought, word, and deed. Okay, it's a really short passage. And remind us where we are. Jesus is on his way with his disciples. They come to a village and Mary and Martha live there. And Martha opens her home to him. And we know that Jesus knows them because Mary and Martha are the brother of Lazarus, right? In the Gospel of John, we know that Lazarus he's unwell and he dies and Jesus brings him. So they know Jesus well. They're very friendly with him. And so it wasn't a comment. Martha opens up the home and says, come on in, guys. We'll host you. And so they open their home. And Martha has this sister called Mary. And what we see is that Mary sits at the Lord's feet and listens to what he was saying. Martha's distracted by all the preparations, all the things she has to do to get ready for this kind of party that they're now hosting. And she was frustrated. And she goes to the Lord and says, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Can you tell her to catch herself on and help me? It's essentially what she says. Okay? And Jesus' response is, yeah, Martha, you're worried and upset about all these things, but a few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary chooses what's better, and it won't be taken from her. Okay? So that is all of the story. That's what we get. Okay? So let's look at it real quick through thought, word, and deed. Okay? So we're going to start with thoughts. What do you think Mary's thoughts are? Right? She's the one who's there, and she comes in, and she sits in the room where Jesus is and listens to his teaching. Because in her mind, her thoughts are, this guy's really important and what he says is really important. And so everything else, as a party host, is my house, you know, sister can sort it out. I want to be present in the room. I want to hear what Jesus has to say. Okay? Now, we move then to what is Martha's thoughts, right? I am hosting Jesus. I've got to make sure everything is perfect. The house needs to be clean. The food's got to be perfect. I've got to host. And in the generosity of her heart, she might be in the right place. Right? when you have visitors come into your home, don't you want it to be nice? Don't you want the hospitality that you offer to be really good? So she's thinking, I'm doing the right thing by making sure that all of the things are ready to go. But there's a creeping underlying discontent, right? Because she feels that culturally, we've got host. Culturally, as a woman, I'm supposed to be hosting, not sitting where all of the gentlemen are having their chat. So there's underneath it, her thoughts begin to sow seeds of discontent. Now, what do you think Jesus' thoughts are in all of this? Well, he's the guest. He's mingling around. He's talking. And you notice from the discourse, he actually takes the time to calm Martha down, right? Martha. Right? Have you ever dealt with a child when they're having a bit of a fit? The first time you say the name, nothing. It's like, that's just like the coach's. Martha. Right? He has this presence where he really settles into her and gives her some words. Right? So we've seen the thoughts. Right? You got the thoughts from Jesus' point of view, Martha's and Mary's. And we won't say which one of the thoughts is the right one yet. We'll get there. Now, what are the words that are spoken in this? Well, the good news for us is Mary doesn't say anything, so we could just skip her for the moment. Right? But what does Martha actually say? She says to Jesus, "Don't you care?" And notice that what she says after that, right? This sentence says this, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." What word appears three times in that sentence? Me. Myself. Me. Right? So her words display then where those seeds of discontent in her thoughts become present. Those thoughts become words, and those words become, in one sense, actions. She's caring mostly about herself and her own position in this moment. "Don't you care, Lord, that my sister has slighted me? She should be in here helping me, and you don't care. Tell her off, please. Get her in here to help me." Those are the words. And then you see Jesus' response with his words, where he says, "Martha, Martha." He named her, he calmed her, he teaches her, and he explains to her. The fact of the matter is, I don't think she was wrong in her heart to want to host and to do a good job. But I think it's that she kind of misses the point of the hosting. She misses the point of the hospitality, doesn't she? And yet Jesus' words are the words of comfort. In fact, he says, "Look, your sister has chosen what she's chosen." And the word is that she's chosen the better thing or the good thing. "You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And that thing is that Mary has chosen what is better, what is good." Notice how Jesus doesn't say she made a wrong choice or a bad choice. Hosting's a good thing. Generosity and hospitality, good thing. Actually, a brilliant thing. But the heart of being present with Jesus and hearing his words, that's the critical thing. So then we jump to the deeds. What are the deeds? You've got the thoughts, you've got the words, and now are the actions. What were the actions that took place in this little story? Mary didn't want to miss out on the guests. She wanted to be present with Jesus and hear what he had to say. So she made the choice from her thoughts. The words that she didn't even speak, she just listened. She went into the room, sat at Jesus' feet, listened to what he had to say. Martha, she wanted to highlight his importance through her deeds. Again, not necessarily the problem. This isn't a dichotomy between contemplation and action, because she was doing a good thing, but Mary's decision was just that much better. It's important. Absolutely important. But the choice that Mary makes is better, and it won't be taken from her. So, what is this story about then? If we've looked at thought, word, and deed, you might have in your mind some things that might have highlighted, but I want to remind you, this is not about gender roles. Right? It's not that the women go into the kitchen and do the cooking and the cleaning and the preparing and the hosting and the gentlemen all just have a chat. That's not what this story is about. In fact, you see in the story that Jesus was constantly kind of breaking those rules and pushing against them. And so it's not about those rules. It's not about culture and the culture back then and understanding what the culture dictated and where they needed to go and what they needed to do. It's not about work either, or hospitality, or trying to pit the life of contemplation where Mary goes and sits at the feet of Jesus and Martha is angry about it versus spiritual life and active life. And if that's what you've understood or heard it all your life, then I want to encourage you to hear this, because it's actually the statement that Jesus says, what is better? What is better? Mary chose what is better. Hosting, good, but sitting at the feet of Jesus, better. Our hosting comes out of sitting in the word of Jesus, of his words of comfort, of the things that he's done, of the things that he's said. And so all of our actions are shaped then by the word of God. That's why Jesus says this is the better choice, because the hosting was in the right place, but with the wrong heart. Now, for us as a church, that's a really important thing to think about, because we do a lot of hosting, don't we? We have events, we've got this community fun day coming up, right? But if we get so caught up in the distractions and the details, and we miss out on the very thing that allows us to go and do, which is Jesus, then we may not have chosen the better thing. And so this story is asking us to think about, how does an encounter with Jesus move us to choose the better thing? Doesn't mean we have to make them a paradox or a dichotomy between one or the other. It's that the one serves the other. Our time at the feet of Jesus allows us to be more hospitable hosts, to be closer and in tune, which is then how we come back to Christmas dinner. The whole point of Christmas dinner, to gather our friends and our family and our loved ones to share in a meal. But who is the main subject of that meal? Jesus. As he's come into the world and he's offered us something so much better. What is better? It should change and shape our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. This story of Mary and Martha isn't about telling one off and praising the other. It's about taking two sisters who know Jesus and love Jesus, but asking them to see what the encounter with him will do to change their heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these stories. We thank you for these encounters that we get to stop and take a minute and think about, and in our own time and place, adjust our hearts and ask the question, what does it mean to sit at your feet, to not be distracted, and to allow your presence to shape how we go about hosting and serving the other. Help us, Lord, to always be ready to sit at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing together the song, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning with thankfulness for all that you have done for us. We thank you that in these encounters and in these stories, as we look into your word, you are constantly speaking to us, reminding us of that which is important and helping us navigate the way forward. We ask that you would encourage us and strengthen us to, in all things that we do, be mindful of putting you and your words first to us. Lord, we also come to you and ask that you would encourage and strengthen us as the church, that as we are this community, that as we host events and as we do things, that we would do so not for the sake of hosting, but for the sake of the other, to invite others to encounter you, to meet you, to know you, to be loved by you, and to be welcomed into our community. Lord, help us to host well, but help us always to keep you at the front and center of everything that we do. Lord, we ask that you would be with this world. It's broken. Every day we see news of decisions that are made politically that are frustrating, of wars that happened that are needless, of division that happens over race and nationality and creed. Lord, we're frustrated. And in that frustration, we come to you and ask that you know all things, you are sovereign, and you are the Prince of Peace. So bring peace as only you can bring peace. But help us too, that we would be proactive and not just sit idly by and not just offer prayers, but willingly that we would do something, that we would put one foot in front of the other, and that it wouldn't just be our thoughts, but it would be our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Lord, we also ask that you would be with those who are sick and those who suffer. You are merciful and you are compassionate. So look kindly upon the sufferings of all. Be with those who are anxious, who are tired, who are weary. Give them rest. Those who are sick in hospital, in care. That as doctors and nurses look after them, that your hands of healing would be extended through them. We pray for those in our own community that we know who are sick or unwell and need your love now. Lord, we are thankful for all of those who have come before us, who have honored you with their life, who have honored you with their thoughts, words, and deeds. And as they are at rest, Lord, we look forward to the day where the communion of saints rises and we sit at your table for a feast. Lord, we ask that you would accept all of these, our prayers, that you would take our thoughts and anxieties and all the things that we bring to you, and we summarize them in the prayer that you taught us to pray as we pray together, our Father. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We stand together and sing the song, There Is a Redeemer. have heard the word, we have prayed our prayers, and we have sung many wonderful songs this morning. But now's the part where we take what we've got here, we go out into the world as hosts, but as hosts putting Jesus first in all that we do. And so we say together this going out into the world. So we go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. We're going to sing our final song today, Blessed Be Your Name. Well, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, Amen.